Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome back to It Could Happen Here, a show about how things are falling apart, or at least generally a show about how things are falling apart, and how to, you know, maybe not fall apart that much. But we have a little bit of a different episode for you today. A friend of mine reached out to me recently in the wake of a pair of episodes we did for Behind the Bastards on sexual abuse within the Boy Scouts of America, which was, if you're not aware, an endemic problem with more than 100,000 victims having come forward in the last year alone. And this is a case that kind of ties into that. It's the case of a young man who committed murder and a young man who was also a victim of a terrible series of crimes. So I wanted to kind of shine a little bit of light on the case of Heath Stocks today. And to help me do that is Mr. Michael Kaiser. Michael, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Michael, would you like to introduce kind of your affiliation with this case before we go over the broad strokes of it?
Sure. Again, my name is Michael Kaiser. I'm a criminal defense attorney with the Lassiter and Casinelli firm in Little Rock, Arkansas. This case started in the 90s, and I'm 32, so I was not practicing then. I came into this case in the last 2 years after Heath has already been sentenced to three life sentences, and I assisted him in filing a petition for a commutation asking for the governor of Arkansas to reduce those sentences to a term of years and giving him a chance of parole while he is still alive.
And can we let's go over kind of what happened in this case, the basics, because this is a really sad story. And it's one of those things where there's not a lot of, I think, easy answers. But yeah, let's talk about sort of the broad strokes of what happened, and then we can drill into what you're trying to achieve here.
Sure. So the broad strokes are, back in 1997, when Heath was a young man, just 20 years old, he was arrested and charged with killing his entire immediate family, both his mother, father, and his younger sister. He was quickly identified as the primary suspect, questioned, confessed, arrested, charged, and within, I believe, 6 months had pleaded guilty to all three capital murders and received a sentence of life without parole for each one of those, for a total of three life sentences. Shortly after he was convicted, it came to light that his longtime Boy Scout scoutmaster, Jack Walls, had been molesting Heath since he was around age 9 or 10, that it was a serial sort of abuse,
yeah.
that Heath was not the only one, that it was particularly brutal, and that his abuse didn't just involve, you know, sexual acts. It was kind of a long-term, I hate to use the term brainwashing, but a lot of people have about what he did to those boys. Heath's is not the only life that was ruined. Heath's family is not the only family's lives who were ruined, but Heath's is unfortunately the most extreme case where he ultimately committed a crime against his family.
We'll get into the circumstances in a second. I just wanted to add a little bit of clarification. The Scoutmaster, we're looking at between 100 and 150 victims, kind of conservatively, based on what I've been reading.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's some of, I mean, it's, so this guy, some of it's the stuff that you heard in a lot of these other cases. Some of it is very unique to this guy, but he would basically, he would have people over, kids over camping on his land. He would take them shooting. He worked for an ammunition company. He would molest them. He would also, like, purchase prostitutes for them. And it was this, I mean, a lot of really, some of the worst abuse that I've read about in connection to any of these Boy Scout sexual abuse cases. It's pretty harrowing stuff when you read the stories of other kids who were kind of in the same position that Heath was.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're correct. It's, you know, every time you think this can't get worse or this case is so extreme, that you find some other element that's more offensive, more appalling, more victims, more families ruined down the line, even today, 30, 40 years, 50 years later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how does the, because I mean, one of the things about this is a pretty, the initial crime here is pretty horrific. And I think it's one of those things where it is hard to have a lot of sympathy for Heath until you kind of learn about what this guy, like his role in the crime, because it was not just a case of, you know, a kid committing murder. It was a case of a kid being very deliberately pushed into committing murder. And potentially, I think there's the allegations being made are that he directly helped with it as well.
Yes. So, you know, at first glance, yeah, it looks really bad for Heath. But over the years, what we have learned is that what really happened is that Heath had been serially abused sexually, physically, emotionally, and otherwise by Jack for a period of 10 plus years. His mother discovers the abuse and discusses it with her pastor, another religious counselor. Heath informs Jack that, you know, his mother is aware, and Jack instructs Heath to do as he's been taught and to kill the problem. Jack was never convicted with anything associated with the death of the Stocks family. However, his first set of life sentences for the many assaults that he was convicted of, when they were reversed, it was because the judge in that sentencing hearing said, you know, the death of the Stocks family is also on your hands. And because he hadn't been formally convicted of that, he actually had his original life sentences reversed. At resentencing, he got essentially the same sentence, multiple life sentences and additional years. But yes, there is a connection. It wasn't known at the time, or at least it wasn't publicized. And if it had been, I think the results of Heath's case would be very different. I don't think you and I would be speaking right now.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, obviously, like, this is a thoroughly horrible situation. And when somebody commits three murders, I think even people who are very critical of the criminal justice system should agree that, like, something needs to be done. But it just seems so unfair to lock this kid up for his entire life without kind of and acting as if this was just a thing he did on his own, rather than kind of the result of a pretty horrific, I mean, one of the most horrific patterns of abuse and exploitation of a child that I can imagine. And I don't know what would actually, like, help, other than getting him into a situation where he's not spending the rest of his life in a prison cell. Like, I don't know what the long term for him looks like in terms of rebuilding this guy's potential to have a life. But it certainly starts with him not spending the rest of that life in a jail cell.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The problem we've encountered with Heath's case is the parole board and many just people that encounter the case wonder why would he attack and kill, you know, his immediate family rather than his abuser. Yeah. And in the 25 plus years or in the 25 years or so since this happened, I mean, our understanding of the juvenile brain, neuropsychology in general, has come leaps and bounds. And so we know that a serially abused child has brain damage from really about the time that that starts happening. And so in Heath's crazy world, and we do have this in our clemency application, we've had abuse specialists evaluate Heath and see how he, you know, his actions conform to our current understanding, within the crazy world that he lived in, he actually was making, dare I say, the reasonable decision. So Jack had demonstrated numerous times over the years he has physical, sexual, and even control over Heath's life. He can end it at any time. He explicitly and implicitly threatens the boys all the time. He's got weapons everywhere. He's a Vietnam veteran. He brings them out to his property, shows them how to shoot, shows them what he will do to those who, you know, go against him. So within Heath's world, he actually made a somewhat reasonable decision. The bigger threat was Jack. He can't kill Jack, so he has to do the thing to appease Jack to avoid the more severe abuse. That's oversimplifying it, but that's something that I don't think we would have been able to conceptualize back in the 90s. You add the element of it's male on male, and we're talking about a very small rural community in central Arkansas, and that element cannot be overlooked at all as well. That was a huge thing that Jack was counting on to keep these boys silent. He explicitly told them, if you tell what happened to you, they're going to think that you are homosexual and a liar. So there's just so many horrible things in this case. Jack had decades of experience doing this, and unfortunately, because of his position in the community, the son of a prominent judge, the longtime scoutmaster, the community's man of the year multiple times, he had access to dozens and dozens of boys, in fact, entire generations of these boys in Lono County. Heath's case is just one of many. Unfortunately, it's the most extreme case, and it kind of tests the bounds of our mercy, but the kid that discovered Jack, while he's a hero, ultimately he killed himself, and he's not the only one. So unfortunately, the Stocks family are not the only people who lost their lives, and not the only people whose lives, just like Heath's, were completely destroyed by Jack Walls.
Yeah, and this is an important thing to understand, because when we're talking about kind of the lingering impacts of childhood sexual abuse, it can take a wide variety of forms, and when we it is important to understand that the damage it can do goes so much further beyond like the physical damage done by the abuse. Like, these are your brain is still forming and growing when you're that young. And Heath, this is one manifestation of kind of what can happen at the more extreme end, admittedly, as the result of, like, this is why it's such a heinous crime to abuse a child in this way. And it's just, I don't know. Like, you're right. It tests the limit of people's capacity for, I don't know, forgiveness seems like the wrong word, but like clemency. You know, this again is a pretty heinous crime. But at the same time, I can't bring myself to think that what he endured leading up to this shouldn't have an impact on what happens to him afterwards, right? Like, it does reduce his complicity in this. And I just feel, it feels so wrong to say that, like, well, he should spend the rest of his life behind a bars. Like, that's just not, I can't imagine anything could help. Like, I can't imagine that could help in any way. Just writing this person off forever. I don't know. It just is. It's fucked. What are the next steps for y'all, for the defense team?
So at this point, we've already filed a petition with the Arkansas governor requesting a commutation. That's not a pardon. That's not something saying, say that Heath is innocent. We're asking the governor to modify his sentences to a term of years, 40 years in each case, to be served concurrently. So in effect, one single sentence of 40 years.
Another 15. Yeah.
Well, in Arkansas, you're actually, at the time he was convicted, he'd be parole eligible at 70%. So that's 28 years. That's not a guarantee of parole. That is just what it means, parole eligibility. So that's what we've asked for. We think his institutional record speaks for itself. And if and when he is a candidate for parole, he hopefully will make parole. He's done everything within his power to do so. If this fails, it's right now, we in Arkansas, it first goes to the parole board, who makes a non-binding recommendation to the governor. They have recommended that the governor deny it, which is unfortunate, but again, it's not binding. The governor now has, I believe, until February or March of 2022 to issue his decision. He has not yet. We have requested a sit-down with the governor. I don't know if we'll actually sit down with Governor Asa Hutchinson. We will sit down with his criminal justice coordinator. We're thankful and lucky to have the support of all of the remaining victims' family members. So both sides of Heath's family, you know, we have extensive support. It wasn't a lot of them had to work to get to this point. A lot of them had to understand the true impact of the abuse. But at this point, we have extensive support from both sides of his family. As far as we know, there are no objections to his commutation application from victims' family members. The only ones that there have been are from the sentencing judge or from the sentencing court. It's actually not the same judge, and the sentencing or the prosecutor from that county, again, a different person, but they felt the need to object. Yeah. Should this fail, we will seek additional post-conviction remedies. In Arkansas, we have something called a petition for writ of errorum nobis. You can file it. You have to ask the Supreme Court, hey, is it okay if I file a petition back in the trial court asking them to consider something that if we had known back in 1997 and 98 would have affected the outcome of the litigation. In this case, we would point to we've had Heath evaluated. It will point to that neuropsychological evaluation as new evidence. We couldn't fully make a connection at the time between his abuse and the offense. To answer that question, why he killed his family rather than his abuser, we now can. And so that's what we're going to allege is that new evidence. Whether the court will find that it is remains to be seen. When Heath tried this on his own about 5 years ago, the court denied it. He alleged the new evidence was the fact of the long-term sexual abuse of him by Jack Walls, and the court, in an opinion that really does not, shows the lack of understanding of long-term juvenile sexual abuse, found that, well, no, you personally were aware of all of that in your own mind because it had happened to you. So that was not new evidence. And, I mean, we know that the average male who makes this sort of disclosure, it occurs deep into adulthood. So yeah. It's just at every level of the system, even today, we're still feeling the effects of kind of that old school mentality about this. And it's unfortunate.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market. As fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We could talk about kind of the carceral state and this idea that, like, penalty is the way to respond to any kind of crime. But even if you believe that, even if you believe that, like, you have to punish people with incarceration when they commit crimes, he's done 25 years. Like, that's no one is discussing the possibility of Heath not being punished for the murder, you know, because it's he has been. Not just with time behind bars, but with the fact that his family's gone. The idea that the state could do anything that's worse to him than the Scoutmaster did, to be honest, is kind of absurd in my head. But where – is there anything that, like – I don't know. I'm trying to determine, like, what can be done to help in this situation. Is there any way people can actually help outside of, like, you and the team that's working to try and sit down with the governor?
I mean, public support is wonderful. The more people that are pointing out the problems in Heath's case and with his sentences and that are reaching out to the governor, the better we think our chances are. I apologize. I don't have the email address on me, but the governor has several publicly accessible accounts, as does his criminal justice coordinator. Even just getting on Facebook and bringing it up, there's a Facebook account managed by one of Heath's friends in Florida called At Hope for Heath Stocks. There's also a website. I think it's hopeforheathstocks.info. It's probably the most extensive trove of resources in this case. It has almost all original documents. It's where I still go to access things when I need them, even though, you know, I am his attorney. So there's a lot out there. There's a lot of ways to support the cause, even just telling other people about it. We do have a documentary in the works. I actually don't think it has a producer at this point, but we're hopeful to have something out in early 2022 to make Heath, to make Jack, to make this case more of a household name. The hopes that, you know, if any sort of... you know, if there's more support out there, more pressure on the governor, it'll increase the odds that he'll do the right thing here.
Yeah, I mean, this shouldn't be a political issue. This shouldn't be a left or a right thing. Like, everyone should be able to see this is the result of abuse, and that should have an impact on what our society actually does to this kid in the wake of the crime. Perhaps it's like foolish to hope for some sort of rationality in 2021 as regards a case like this. But I would hope that we could be rational about this and everyone agree, yes, this kid deserves something more than what he's gotten. I don't know. It's a bleak one, though.
That's putting it lightly. New York recently passed a law that kind of acknowledged kind of where you're at with it. For victims of domestic or sexual abuse who then committed crimes that weren't necessarily during the course of that specific abuse. And it allowed people like Heath to apply for resentencing if they met certain statutory qualifications for things that mitigated their crime, didn't justify it, but that didn't come out originally. Unfortunately, in Arkansas, we don't have a similar process. The only thing we have available is this clemency commutation process. And unfortunately, as you said, it should be apolitical, but it's not. It's explicitly political. The parole board are all appointees by our governor. The governor is an elected official. There's a reason we filed it in the last year of his last term in Arkansas. He is term limited. So we're trying to get him at a point where he's as free from the politics to do what he actually thinks is correct. But to think that politics will be removed is, it never is.
No, this is the United States in the 2020s. You know, politics is a factor here.
And this is a deeply divisive case in the state and especially in Lono County.
Well, it's hard. I can imagine it being hard to talk with people about just because, again, the nature of the crime is horrific. And so if you talk about like, well, we think this guy should have another chance at life. And you're like, well, but he killed three people. He killed his sister. And yes, that is the case, but that's not the only thing going down here. And you just have to, I think if you're at all, even if you're not coming at this from kind of politically where I am in regarding, you know, the carceral state, you have to acknowledge that like this does not erase Heath's crimes, but Heath's crimes were also the result of not just the Scoutmaster's abuse, but of a number of failures on a wide level in our society that allowed that abuse to occur. And so, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of reasons why it behooves us to give this kid another chance. I don't know. That doesn't make it easier to convince anyone else, but yeah.
Well, how would this case play out if it happened today versus in 1997? Even in a more rural part of Arkansas, I think our understanding of several of the issues here has come so far that my hope is Heath would have received a term of years rather than being charged with capital murder. They originally were seeking the death penalty, and he made a deal for multiple life sentences. Both as someone under 21 and as a victim of long-term sexual abuse, I would like to think that if this happened today, even in that county, what we're asking for is something close to what would happen.
You would hope, yeah.
I would hope. So that's why, again, we didn't ask for a pardon. We didn't ask, let him out today. We said, let him earn it. Let him still feel the weight of what he has done, but give him that light at the end of the tunnel because, you know, there is no one in the Arkansas Department of Correction, even there's just not a victim like him there. And there's not someone who could be an advocate for victims like him were he to be released. So,
yep. Well, all right, Michael, is there anything else you wanted to get into with this or any other ways people might be able to help?
Check out the website again.
Yeah.
Post on social media. The one thing I think we didn't focus on here is Heath himself. Heath is a deeply spiritual individual. He's someone who lives with this on his conscience almost every moment of the day. Yeah. This is not someone who, you know, feels he skated by avoiding the death penalty. This is someone who has had to learn about trauma mostly on his own because with those life sentences, he is ineligible for so many of the programs, of the scant programs and resources that we have in the Department of Correction because they don't give it to people who don't have parole dates. So he's had to do a lot of this on his own. He's come a remarkable way. He's still someone that needs probably extensive treatment and therapy to deal with his own trauma as well as to deal with the effects of what he did on himself. But he's a remarkable individual. He's a great self-advocate. I wish you could speak with him as well. He's someone I'm proud to represent, not just that I do because I get paid. This is why I got into the practice of law, is this type of case. He is not innocent, but he is not. He should not be bearing the full weight of what occurred. While, you know, Jack is serving a life sentence, I think he should have one or two or three more for his role in this. I mean, Heath's youth and Heath's brain damage because of that sexual abuse should have and now should be considered, and we just hope the governor will.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully so. And again, if you want to learn more, there's heathstocks.info. There's a lot of good about Jack Walls on there as well. And you can, there's a link to make a donation to Heath's defense. All right. Well, Michael, thank you so much for coming on today. And I hope you have a good rest of your week.
Yeah, as well.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.